whose storm drew near. I prayed for God to speak the word to make it disappear. It seems the waves would not obey the master's call for peace. But then the Lord spoke to my soul, reminded me he had control. That the sun is working for man for me. Sometimes he comes a storm, sometimes he calms me. Sometimes the storm is raging on, but I feel the sweetest dream. Such a joy to know that my Lord knows just what I need. Sometimes he comes a storm, sometimes he comes to me. Circumstances may overtake and bring me to my knees. But when I feel like I'm not coping with this life's troubled peace, I call on Him, source and still much greater storm can be. His words bring peace into my soul. When he's God's child, I'm in control. And with one touch, he comes to storm me. Sometimes he comes to storm, sometimes he calms me. Sometimes the storm's courageous on, but I feel the sweetest dreams.
Storms sweep through tonight. We had a couple songs on storms sweep through tonight, too. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. It's been good again to have the Hinmans here. It's good to have a preacher that's got some, 58 years preaching? 48. 48 years marriage, 58 years preaching. Is that what it was? But anyway, 51 years. All right, praise the Lord. So we appreciate the Hinmans. And brother, you come and preach to us tonight. I appreciate again your preaching and your stand on the word.
Thank you, Brother Rice. Hello, can you hear this tonight? Amen. Good to hear. To get all I got in tonight, I had to bring my big Bible. Amen. Now, this Bible is a little different than most of them. You get a page with a verse and scripture into it, and then you get a blank page. Hard to do a message that way. It comes up blank a lot. Come on, smile. Oh, terrible set of words happened. Look at the people on there. Amen. God's good to us, is he not? I got to get things over where I belong to start in. There's a number of things that the pastor likes to do. And if you're like me, I come with a lot of messages. I come because I never know what the Holy Spirit's going to do to you when you're in the services. But you and I, in our life, are writing the gospel. We write a chapter of that gospel every single day of our life by the deeds that we do and the words that we say. The people that we're around read what we're writing down, whether faithless or true. I could leave on the top of the mountain this little poem, and it says, "Say, what is that gospel according to you?" People look at you, kind of a message are you leaving to them? I don't know who the author is to that. It comes from a little set of things that I pick up over the years as I go to different places and find them and collect them. Christ has no hands, but you're in my hands to work with upon this earth. Do you realize that? I'm going to say something now before I start in, a little more on a serious note. You and I, some of us have come from different religious backgrounds or brought up under different religious backgrounds. And we believe in the King James Bible. Amen? Right? We believe what it says is true. Every time I do this message, somebody comes up to me afterwards and says, I disagree with that. You're not disagreeing with me, you're disagreeing with God's Word.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to show you some things tonight that you may never have seen before. But some of our ideas come, believe it or not, from other churches. And I'm kind of going to be spending some time. We're going to read some scripture before we get started, because it's very important that the scripture is put in there for you. And if you would with it, if we turn to Matthew, the 3rd chapter. The 13th verse. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. The 13th verse. I'll get there soon. You look there with me. Matthew, the 13th verse, or the 3rd verse, excuse me. The 3rd chapter, excuse me. I'm the 3rd chapter, 13th verse. I'm doing all right. That preacher took me all over town, and I'm still going around circles. Amen. Amen. So I don't know what I'm doing tonight. Amen. It's over. Matthew 3, chapter 3, verse 13. You look at this with me for just a moment. I'm going to read a number of scriptures, and I'll go back and I'll use them in the service. There in that 3rd chapter, verse 13, it says, "Then come Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized to him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be not as not so now, for this thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heaven opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting up on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Amen? Isn't that a wonderful thought? Amen? Wouldn't that be when you leave this world and you meet God? Amen? Wouldn't it be wonderful if he came to you and said, "Oh, my beloved Son, I'm glad you're here. You did well." That's my desire. I don't know if it's not a desire from a lot of other preachers. In Mark, the 6th chapter, verse 1, we'll turn over there for just a minute. Mark, the 6th chapter. I'm going to get there. The trouble with this Bible. Where'd that go, Pat? Got to find Mark. There it is. There again, it's got so much in these things. They're good Bibles for study Bible, but they're not good to preach out of. Amen? It's true. Amen. Some are not made to preach out of. Each house are made for different things for study. And but we have to look at these as we go through them. Here in Mark, in the 6th chapter. Now get there. Mark the 6th chapter. I'm trying to get somebody up here to go to these pages for me while I'm doing this. I'm tired. I'm still going around the side of the mountains tonight. Okay, where the preacher took me around. He got back in my head back. Mark the 6th chapter, verse 1. 6th chapter, verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which he is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his name? Is not his this the carpenter, the son of Mary? Now look at these, what I'm writing at here, or reading. The brother of James, and Joseph, and Judah, and Simon. And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do not mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around about the village. You know, it's a sad story, isn't it? From your hometown. They're not accepted. This is what happened to Jesus. As we go through this a little bit further into it, and I've got to give these verses because they have to say Luke the 4th chapter, verse 16. Luke the 4th chapter, verse 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke. The 4th chapter, verse 16. Luke, 4th chapter, verse 16. Amen. Make sure I get this written down here, right? Yes. Yeah, I'm going to want to do here. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, and the latch of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod, the tetrarch, being reproved of him, for Herod, his brother's, Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. Well, I like that verse a little bit there. The heaven was open. Amen?
Yeah,
that's something. Where was that?
Yeah.
Oh, where was that? Did I get off the wrong one again? Okay, please. What's that?
Luke
4:16. Luke 4. Okay, I got verse 30. Okay, I'm going to go back a little bit and do this again for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Luke 4:16.
John answered, saying unto him, Paul, I indeed baptize you water.
No.
3:16.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Oh.
I was going the other way. Amen. John 3:16. For John answered, saying unto them all, I need baptized with water, right? Right?
Luke.
Now you said to be in Luke
3.
4.
4.
16.
We got it now, brother. We're in 3.
I need an interpreter. Excuse me. There's a lot of verses in here. Okay, basically that's where we were. Luke 4:16, right? Luke 4:16:21. Amen. Yes, yeah. Matthew 13 is what I'm looking for. Okay. Afterwards, okay. Now, did you get the first one? Get that one, or I need to go back to Luke?
Yeah, go back to Luke
4:16. He's going to mess me up. Luke 4. Luke 4 chapter. Okay. Get back here. 4 chapter. Verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him a book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? Think about that for just a minute. There's a lot here in this. Now, remember, this is not a Catholic Bible. Amen? It is a King James Bible, all right? Now, we say we bring, and you folks, some of you folks are going to say when I'm all done, he's not doing what's right here. Now, I don't write sometimes when I'm, my eyes aren't working today. My head's going around circles. Amen? And I really am not seeing real well. Praise the Lord, I do that. Some. That happens to me. Actually, if we go through this, here we have Jesus. He has returned to his own country of Nazareth. He's been teaching and preaching in Galilee. And here among the people he grew up with, he lived with, and worked with, and probably worked for, because he was a carpenter. Amen? He learned that trade growing up. Now, he comes with some of his followers. They're called disciples. And he enters into the synagogue. The book is brought to him. Now that's something strange that people don't ever, and you don't hear even Baptists say much about that. It's brought to Jesus. It's interesting. If you bring him the book, he's just coming in. Think about this for just a few minutes, because this tears you up some. And maybe some of the things that you believe. Here he is in this synagogue, this church, which is actually, if you go to Israel, they actually have little church buildings off the side of the synagogues, and that's where they do their preaching and teaching. They actually don't do it in that if you go to the older parts and see it. But here he is. They're all astonished at what he's doing. They're looking at one another and they're saying, What makes this man think he's so special today. Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, Judah and Simon? Are they not his sisters here with us? And they were offended by him. Now here's something that you're going to get hit pretty hard at. Here's his sisters. Amen? Now think for just a minute. Now, what people will do to you, some people, they say, well, Mary had no other children. Right? I've heard people say that all my life. There you go, brother. That's it. It's a lie that's been sent down through the years. But in the King James Bible, you don't find that. You find that he had sisters. Amen? Amen. Not just one or two. He had sisters. Amen? Doesn't name them, but he had sisters. And we know he's a carpenter. But he also has his brothers. Wow. Maybe Mary had more children than we thought she had, amen? Now, only one is the Savior, amen? That's the first one, because that is the great special gift that God gave her, amen?
Amen.
The others, all children are a gift of God, amen, regardless who they are. But only one is the Savior. Only one is the Son of God. Born at a special time for a special purpose. And they even names the brothers. The brothers. Amen. Is this name? Is he not the carpenter? Sons of Mary? The son of Mary? The brothers of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Are his sisters here with us? They were offended to him. Well, you know what people are. No one. Why people are offended today of the King James Bible? Do you know why they want to change it? Do you know why they want to bring out new Bibles all the time? Because they want to change the Bibles, amen? So they'll be up on the truths that are there. They were offended at him. Luke 24:42-52, it tells us of Jesus at the age of 12. He's down with the priest and the religious people, and his father and mother have gone to town, and they couldn't find him. Went back to find him, and where was he? He's in there debating with the priest. Amen. Think about that for just a minute. He was a young man here, and he's already debating with them and talking with them. And they're a little bit messed up for that too. Now, and I've got to get my eyes adjusted here again. Still going around the corners, amen. I do have a problem once in a while with my eyes, and I need to get them fixed in the future. Praise the Lord. But that's what hurts them too. Actually, they're safety glass, so don't break. Amen. I'm taking my time because of this. I don't want to be in a hurry. If I don't get it in tonight, all tonight, I'll finish it up tomorrow. I think this is an important part of things. We have to understand one of the reasons you have in your hand the King James Bible. You have a very special Bible. Amen. A Bible is built upon truth, not building upon stories from what some denomination says. He disappears. Jesus seems to disappear around the age of, 12? Someplace in there. And you don't see anything much about him until he reaches the age of 30 years old. And that's in Scripture too. And what happened during those years? That's where we have a problem. Is there anything in the Bible that speaks about him? Is there anything that we can find, that we learn about what's going on? Well, I know this. According to Luke 2:51, listen to me, and I use this even with children. I use this service even with children when they're here. In Luke 2:51, he was obedient to his parents. Now, I'm not going to go through all these verses. I'm just going to lay them down to you, okay? He was obedient to his parents. You ought to be obedient to your parents. I don't care what the age your parents are, you still ought to be obedient to your parents. My father and my mother have gone home. Both my grandparents on both sides of my family have already gone home. But I'll tell you what, I still get upset if my children talk to my wife wrong, or if they say something in a wrong way to me that's not to be honoring your parents. Amen? Christ honored his parents. He was subject to them. Tells us that there. And then here we are in Luke. By the way, your parents taught you a lot back in those days, amen. They really did. I thank God for my father and my mother. My mother was a school teacher. She taught me a lot at home. My father used to love to sit down and write, read the Bible and read books to us, his children, when he could, until he got old enough and his health was failing. Here we are. In Luke 2:52, he's learning from his parents. He's learning from his parents. His parents, by the way, we leave all the education today up to a public school that does not even believe in the Bible, don't even believe in creation, and don't even believe that you and I as parents have any power. Think about that.
Yeah.
I can remember going to school years and years ago, and this is just a story, because they were telling my children that they were going to read a certain book. I didn't want that book. I went down to the school. I went in and asked for the teacher. And they told me which teacher it was. I went to the teacher. I sat down with the teacher. And the teacher said, "What can I do for you?" And I told her, I said, "Can you take and give my daughter was a different book to read? We do not agree with this book." And she says, "Well, I think we'll do what we want to do here." I said, "No, you won't. That's my child." She said, "Well," she said, "I get paid to do what I do." And I said, "Yes, and it's my taxes that pay you." Amen? And I told, she said, "Just a few minutes." She went out, and all of a sudden, in comes the school psychologist. I loved it. Psychologist came in. I introduced myself to her, the lady. She told, gave me a tough time that the school was going to do what they wanted. And I said, "I'll tell you what's going to happen." I said, "You can either work with me or you can work against me. We can either be a team to help the students out, or you're going to be in trouble." She said, "What do you mean I'm going to be in trouble?" I said, "My family has a law association in Binghamton. Howard, Hinman, Howard, and Cattell. And they're a big law association." And I said, "I don't want any problem with you, and you don't want any problem with me. But," I said, "when you get done with it, if you keep doing this, I'll own the school, you'll be working for me." She got up and went running out of there, crying. About 2 minutes, in comes the coach, the big coach from school. And he comes in like this. I'm sitting down in a chair. I looked at him. He says, "You giving people tough time?" I said, "No." He says, "Well, if you give me a tough time, you're going to know it." Put my hands down, come up out of the chair like this, and I didn't. Okay. He looked at me and said, "What do you want?" And I talked to him. And we sat down. We came to an agreement that my children didn't need those books. They could read the books, another book in their place. That my children didn't have to go down on some of the programs like learning to dance with everybody. They didn't have to go to that. And it got to the point where if something was going on that they thought was not, I might not agree with, they'd call us on the phone and say, "Can we work this out somehow?" You said, "You're terrible. Back me in the corner and you'll find out." Amen. Someone says, "Christians ought to not be like that." Someplace along the line, Christians got to stand up. Amen?
Amen?
For what's going on in this world. I like Jesus. I like talking about him. By the way, he did stand up to things. And also, in that people, they're in the scripture too. Amen? Now, I need to go on, move along a little faster here. Listen. He had to be a good student when he was being taught. He learned from his parents. To do that, Jesus had to be a good listener. That's something I tell about everybody that comes into a church. If you want to really listen to what's going on, you have to start listening to what the preacher's teaching, the Sunday school teachers, and so on. You need to learn what's there. That it's important to learn. Amen? Very important. Very, very important. He went to church in Luke there in 4:16 on a regular basis. This was his custom. Amen? Amen. I hope you folks have a good custom here. It's my custom to get to church every time I can get into church someplace. Yeah. I was talking to the pastors something today, and I asked him if he knew Wally Gilbert out in Ohio, a good friend of mine. He was telling me Wally's gone to start to build another church, and I love that. But I don't want pastors, they're my friends. He went to the church in Luke 4:16 on a regular basis. That's his custom. If you realize this and you study it a little bit more, you'll find out he was a teacher in the synagogue. You read it, you put it all together in a puzzle, he actually taught. Amen. Wasn't that doing? They came into church. How do I know that? Well, he was the oldest son, had a man. That was part of the oldest son's job. Number two, amen, it was his custom. Amen. Is it your custom to come to the pastor every time there's a service? Wouldn't it be great if you didn't show up? No, it's his custom to be here. Amen. I hope it's your custom to be here too. He learned as a young man. God was pleased with his son in Matthew 3:17. Amen. My beloved son, I'm well pleased. Amen. Matthew 3:17. As a child, I believe he studied. I believe he went to church. I believe as he got older, he taught. God was pleased into him. He had sisters. He learned a trade. But there's also another side. A side which we don't think about too much. Jesus knew why he was upon this earth. In Luke 2:49, he said, For he said, at the age of 12, as he talked to his father with those religious people, and his father found him there, and his father said, "What are you doing here? Come on home," in a sense. And he said, "I must be about my father's business." Amen. He knew what he was here for. He knew what he was going to do, even at that young person. Can you imagine? Here he is, a young man. His desire was to get started here back to that time. He wanted to get to work. What's his work? Redemption. Amen? That's really what it is. Amen? His desire. He wanted to get to work. He wanted to see people change. It's hard to obey parents all the time, but Jesus never disobeyed them. He was in a place always where his Father, Heavenly Father, was pleased. He studied hard. I wonder sometimes if we study the way we ought to. Amen? He learned to work. He was a carpenter. Can you imagine for just a few minutes somebody told you what you were going to do and your job was going to be to go out and win people to Jesus Christ, and you're a young person, and yet here you are, you're locked into a shop that makes furniture, that builds houses, and by the word in there that is carpenter in the original edition, if you read the real word, you take it in its original language, it means to be a builder. In other words, a master of all trades. Yes, he was a carpenter, but even today, carpenters, many good carpenters, can do a lot of different trades. Amen? They learn that. Here he is. He studied. He was about his business. Here he is working in his carpenter shop, learning a trade with his father. Sawdust all over the place. And at night when he got done and his father got ready to get up there, or maybe to take a piece of furniture someplace to somebody, he has to clean that up. He has to clean up the dirt and the junk and the sawdust and put the tools away. That's not what he wanted really to do. He wanted to be about the business that God, his Heavenly Father sent him to do. But he was still obedient to his father during that period of time until he became of age. I liked training my boys as they grew up. Amen. He taught. Even after working hard and being tired in that sawdust and the dirt that was there, he had to clean up at night. Had to so they could go to work the next day. Planing wood. By the way, planing wood by hand is a lot different than planing wood with these fancy things we got today. I don't know if any of you folks have done that, but I grew up with it in a shop like that. Amen. Take a little block of wood about that long and also have to set it to whatever depth you want it to go. Oh, I won't even get into that now. But you know what? Here he had to clean that all up. Planing wood, working, waiting, always with the desire in his heart to be getting after his Father in Heaven's business. To the work he came to this earth to do. 18 years waiting. 18 years studying. 18 years praying. Taking care of his own family's needs. 18 years learning. Waiting to be used. And then everything turned around and he was able to get started and go about his business. He only had 3 years. That's all we had. You and I have had a lot of time. We could do a lot. Amen. We can do a lot for God. You get discouraged, do you, sometimes? I can remember working on the farm and getting discouraged. I can remember working in the plumbing heating trade and wanting to be about my father's business. My wife would tell you, sometimes I would cry because I couldn't do what I wanted to do. I'm retired now, but there's still sometimes I can't do everything I want to do. My brain isn't as sharp as it used to be after I had the mild stroke. I didn't break my hip, but I wore a hip out on this side, and I got a hip and I got a rod that goes down my leg. I go to get up sometimes and it's hard for me to get up. But you know what? I still must be about my father's business. That's what I do. How about you? You know what your father's business? What place did God tell you to do? Sunday school teacher? Soul winner? A reader? Knocking doors to door? I don't know what he called you to do, but everyone is called to do something. I believe in God's word. Maybe you waited a long time. But I know this. With me, I don't call people on phone asking for speaking engagements. Bad as I am, my wife, I don't do that. I stay to home, I work in the church to home. I do plumbing on the building. I do carpenter work on the building. I sweep the floors. Clean the building sometimes. In the winter, when it snows, you'll find I'm the first one in the morning out shoveling snow. When I first moved into where we are, there people up and down the street weren't very happy people, very nice people. I went out with a snowblower I had, and I'd go out my help my some walkway. I'd go down my walkway. I'd go across the street. I'd come up the other side of the street. The neighbors lived there, and they'd say, "Well, you don't have to do that." I said, "I know I don't have to do that, but you can't push these snowblowers. You have to let them run." I said, "It's got to run." I said, "I might as well let it run and move some snow while I'm going up and down there." We'd go around the main church, in front of the church, down the other side of the church, and then back up the other walkway and come back all the way around. We'd do half the block. You know what's happened down there? I'd watch move snow in the winter. All of a sudden, I see people coming out with snow blowers helping me out. Why? Because I took time to teach them something that I knew when I was a young boy. The one farmer got sick, all the farmers went together to help that other farmer was sick out. You know, your neighbor is your neighbor. He ought to be your friend. He has a soul. Amen. You don't have to brag about it. I go down and have coffee a couple times this week, down the diner down here, and I did not. I'm not bragging about Jesus. They ask me what I'm doing. I tell them what I'm doing. Tell them who I am. And set in time, I don't push them at all. Why? I want them to see something different in me. Amen? I want them to see something different, that I'm concerned about them, but I'm not going to push them. Amen?
Amen?
See, Christ, you learn from Christ in the Bible if you study His life. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
You'll study what He's interested in. What was He interested in? The business of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I was preaching in church for 3 or 4 years before I was ever had a license to preach. Amen? Because somehow God wanted people to Jesus Christ. I went out and helped people. I still love people. Because that's what God... Amen? What kind of form did God take on when He came to this earth? He took on the form that you and I have of a man. A human being. What you go through when you think that you're going through such a terrible time in life. Oh, can you go read your Bible, and find out what Jesus went through? Think of what they did to Him because He did what was right. You know, in our life, everything does not go our way. Amen?
Yeah.
We have an enemy. It wants us to quit. We have an enemy that wants us to give up. We want an enemy that wants us to get upset.
Yeah.
Tell the pastor, quit taking me all over the world. Amen? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
God loves you. Pray. Do what we can do. Amen? And join together as people who love God and are interested in Him and live our life in such a way that people will see the difference. You know, I got free coffee down here on the corner. Lady came over and said to me, she says, do you want a cup of coffee? I said, yeah. She brought me a cup of coffee, and I was talking to another couple people there, and she stood and listened. And she got all, I got all done talking to him, and they got up and left. And I was getting ready to get up, and she said to me, she said, would you like another cup of coffee? And I said, I don't want too much coffee, but I said, why? She said, I'd like to talk to you for a minute or two. I didn't witness to her, but I was talking to other people who was and what I was doing. She showed an interest. I want to go down again tomorrow morning. Amen. Why? Souls. I'm about my Father's work. Amen. Trying to live it. Trying to love people. Sometimes the unlovable people. They'll come into your church. And you're the only one that they may see outside of this church. God loves you. There's a lot more on that study in this book. This book, Bible here I have, is all notes on Jesus Christ and things like I taught today. That's a big one. Amen? If you want to know what it is, it's a classic note Bible. The classic note Bible. They're hard to get and hard to come to buy. This was given to me by a man in my church many, many years ago. George and Cindy Bradford, now living in Florida. Fine Christian man. Saved underneath my ministry. His mother was saved underneath my ministry. Didn't get to his father. Did get to spend time with him, but not able to do our obedience to Christ. You know, I get tired just like you do. Especially when preachers are driving me all over the country. I had to put that in there for the last one. Amen. But listen, what I'm saying and what I'm doing here is because I love you. It's not because I'm trying to get after you at all. I don't have all the answers for everything, amen. But I know one who will help and knows it all.
Amen.
Amen. And that's the only thing I can do. And I can pray, and as a church together, you people can pray together, and miracles will take place. You become as one. Husbands and wife, pray as one. Amen. Pray for your friends. Take your burdens to the Lord. Amen. And the song says, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Amen, brother? I can't imagine. You know, sometimes we have to take and leave them there because we can do nothing. It's out of our hands. Right now, we're going to be voting for people pretty soon. It's not, that's in our hands. A lot of Christians won't even vote because they'll say, well, I don't know who to vote for. You better get some information, amen, find out. And you need to vote. Amen? You need to vote. I vote all the time, wherever I can. I also want to get a chance to talk to someone that's running and they don't agree with me, I talk to them. Why? You see, they need to know how I feel. They need to know that I don't agree with them raising taxes all the time. I don't agree with some of the things they don't do. Amen, that they ought to be doing. Amen? But I'm still not going to be mean to them. Who's the Hannah's down in the veterans home down there I told you about? Representative from Washington. He's in the veterans home, his brother is. Yes, sir, brother. Closing that up right now. You know, because his brother is there, he comes into the veterans home about once a month and I get to talk to him one-on-one. Representative, amen? He knows who I am now. He'll talk to me and say, hey, preacher. Maybe, just maybe, he's talking to me. Just maybe, Christ will touch his heart. He might come become a Christian. That's what it's all about. That's what revivals are all about. That's what preaching is all about. That's why we come here. God loves you and I love you too. That's the reason why I'm here. Yeah. I may never be back here again in my life. I never know. But it's all right. I'll see you in heaven. Amen? That's what it's all about. That old song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid out somewhere beyond the blue. And the angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I don't feel at home in this world anymore. I mean, now my wife's a singer. I just play around with it. Amen. Like most pastors do. Brother Ed, you're fine.
Praise the Lord. Turn the song, let's open it to 343.
A little different invitation song, but it's a good one. More about Jesus. Yeah, that'd be great. 343. I think I got the page number right. Is that it? Oh, I'm sorry.
No?
No, wrong song. More about Jesus would I know. More of his love to others show. 323. Dyslexic people shouldn't be reading the same. That isn't even dyslexic, is it? 323. Lots of words of this tremendous old hymn. Think about what we've heard tonight. More about Jesus, 323.
Professor Simon.
Yeah, the storm. First verse. More about Jesus.